Welcome to Intentional with Dr. Faye. Intentional is the radio show dedicated to opening the gateways of knowledge into a deeper, more committed way of living your heaven on earth. You will learn how to build a relationship with God that will radically change the way you live your life forever. You will discover that you're not alone in this journey. You have access to eternal life now and all that it offers. Just listen as Dr. Faye shares the gospel to empower, motivate, inspire, and encourage you to live an intentional life.
What would happen if God ruled the world? I hear people make the statement all of the time that God is in charge. Oh, everything that's happening is God is doing it. If that were the case, we would not see some of the things that we see every day in our news. God is not in charge. Yes, indeed, God is the creator of heaven and earth. Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords and the savior of the world. But how can we say God, who is love, is in charge of human trafficking, rape, murder, corruption? No, God is not in charge. What you see in the news is the work of demonic spirits, human beings who have run amok by not listening and giving their lives to God. I know these are difficult things to hear, but someone has to say them. I have begun to teach a message along the lines of the government of God. And when we think about the government of God, we immediately think about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. We read in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, how in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And how with the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. But then something happened. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be. So we see in the very beginning, the book of Genesis, we see an illustration of what the government of God looks like as God begins to bring what is in heaven to earth. Because the earth had not known government, the earth was non-existing. So God's plan was to bring heaven to earth, to bring what was in heaven, create a duplicate of what he already had, because it could not come any other way. So everything gives birth after its kind. The life of everything was in itself. So out of heaven came earth. So the same government that was in heaven was placed in the earth. And we see through the Pentateuch, that means the first five books of the Bible, we see as Moses writes these books, we see how there is a progression of implementing the governmental systems of the kingdom of God in the earth. We saw in Genesis 3 how, as it begins that story, we walk into the room and the scripture reads, and the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman. So there had been a comparison before with the serpent and all of the other beasts. What had happened to the serpent that he became more subtle? Access to demonic spirits it was already there. The Satan had already been booted out of glory, had already been booted out of heaven. The Bible says that Lucifer and the angels that rebelled against God's system were cast out of heaven, and they are still rebellious spirits in the earth today, rebelling against God. And those who do not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, they are open wells for the devil to just breathe in them, move through them, and do whatever he wants to do in their lives. Such is the case whether they're in politics or in ministry or in business. In every walk of life, Satan has infiltrated the systems of this world. And because of that, it is imperative, it's vital, that messages like this are taught so that we can return to our Creator. We can return to the one who brought us. We can return to the one who spoke the heavens and the earth into existence, because there is no greater power than God. So make no mistake about it. There is no greater power than God's power. And Satan does exist. And if you think he doesn't, then you will be sad when you discover that, you know, once you make a wrong turn at a certain point in existence, you don't get to turn around again. This is the time to repent. This is the time to change. So the government of God was to be brought into this earth as in a direct image as the government, the kingdom of God. Everything that was in heaven was duplicated in the earth. Have you ever heard testimonies of people who have gone into heaven and were sent back to earth? The testimonies have a similar, they're similar in many ways. And one of the ways that they have a similarity is that they talk about how beautiful it is and how it was like earth, but not like earth. It was more, the greens were more green, the oranges were more orange, the yellows were more yellows, the sun was brighter, you know. And so that in itself tells you that everything in earth was to be a duplicate or created in the image of heaven. So man was created in the image of God. Therefore, man was given the authority. He was given dominion and authority over the garden. And the Bible says that whatever Adam called a thing, that's what it was. And it remains that way today, that whatever Adam called a thing, see, go back to Genesis 1. Whatever God called a thing, that's what it was. So whatever Adam called a thing, that's what it was. You see the line of authority? So God put that power on the inside of man so that man could go and do in the earth what God was doing in the kingdom of God, so that there would be a like heaven on earth. And saying in Matthew, the sixth chapter, when Jesus was praying what is known as the Lord's Prayer, he gets down to the part where he says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The same will that God wills in heaven, he wills in the earth. So that what we see and experience in our everyday waking, walking, talking lives should be heaven on earth. It should not be this chaos and confusion. Well, as it goes, the fruit is known. The tree is known by the fruit it bears. And I was going to say the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree, right? The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. The tree is known by the fruit it bears. So when we turn on the news and we see corruption, chaos, confusion, and we have to track it down, God, why are we in this state? What can we do to change our direction? Everybody knows that the news is bad. On the outside, the secular news, it is bad. But on the inside, in the Word of God, this news is good. This news is very good. And this news keeps on getting better and better as we continue to grow in grace and begin to magnify His name. The government of God has been released in this earth, but we have grown so far away and gone so far away from God's original plan until what we see in government now is sin and corruption. Not that everyone that's in government is a sinner, but because those spirits have dominated the seats for so long, we are calling good evil and evil good, and we're wondering where God is in all of this. And I'm here to tell you that God is still God, and He wants us to come back to his original plan. That's what born again, being born again is all about, is coming to God's original plan for mankind to assume our original position of redemption, and through redemption and reconciliation. We've been redeemed because there was a price that was paid, so we were bought back. We've been reconciled because we were delivered back through the blood of Jesus, which means brought back. And we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because we were not righteous in ourselves. It took the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us and to make us whole. So as we continue to teach in this series, The Government of God, it is my prayer that each and every person who will hear this with your spiritual ears, not with your intellect, darlings, your intellect will run amok. Not with your education or what you think God said, but I mean with the spirit that is within you, with your open heart, and say, Lord, reveal to me truth, because I want to know how to walk in truth. I want to know how to live the rest of my life to the fullest and best of God's divine plan that I can possibly live. And the only way to do that, my friend, is through truth. And the Bible says, through the words of Jesus, we would know the truth, and the truth would make us free. That means liberate. Take the chains off, take the shackles off, deliver us from everything that would try to bind us, even the negativity and the thoughts of our minds, our cultural thinking, our religious thinking, all the things that we think identify who we are, shape and make and mold us into the image that we think we are, so we can get unwrapped like Jesus, Lazarus got unwrapped when he came from the dead. After 4 days, he was thinking, and Jesus said, loose him. He was speaking to the things that had him bound for those 4 days, and the grave clothes had to come off. This is time for some of us to realize he's calling to us to say, he's saying, loose, be loosed, and be set free. He wants all of those cultured grave clothes, those prejudicial grave clothes, those religious grave clothes, those political grave clothes to unwrap us, yeah, unwrap us, unclothe us, so that we can be clothed again with the word of grace and truth. Amen? Amen, somebody. Hallelujah. God wants us free to serve him, to worship him. And we can't get free by being yoked with the things of this world. We have to come out from among them and be separate. It is a cry from the Spirit of God for every person to come back to Jesus, come to the bleeding side of Calvary, and experience the liberty that Jesus Christ paid this price for us to have. And you, my friend, heed the call. Take heed to what we hear. I want to read a passage of scripture quickly from Isaiah. Not quickly. I'm going to read a passage of scripture from the book of Isaiah and chapter 9. And many times we hear this passage when around Christmas time, during the holiday times, but I want to read it. And it can be Christmas in your heart, right? Christ has come. Christ is born. He says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Isaiah 9 chapter, beginning at the 6th verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You see, when Jesus is in control, there's peace. As I said, God is not running the show here. God is not running things in this earth. If he was running things in this earth, then we would not have the chaos and corruption and confusion. That is not the spirit of grace. That's not the spirit of God. That is the spirit of the devil. That is Satan. And whenever you see Satan, you see his seed, you see his work. There's a satanic force that is in the back of that that's doing this work. Not my Father. My God is love. My God is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord God, my peace. Whenever there is poverty and sickness, he is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God who heals. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God who provides. He is the Lord my shepherd, I shall not want. He is Jehovah Tiskanu. He is the banner over me. He's El Elyon. He is grace. Woo! Great favor. That's who he is. He's not corruption running amok. Don't associate him with that. It says, this Prince of Peace is who he is. The government is upon his shoulder. Did you hear that? He's the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there's no end. There's an increase of his government, an increase of his peace when God is in control. How many of you would like for God to be in control of government today? In your country, in your city, in your state? How many of you would like for God to be seated in the Supreme Court? How many of you would really love for love to rule? I know it may sound airy-fairy to those of you who are so hooked on negativity and drama out there, but it's not airy-fairy. You will be saying, you know, those are the same people who say Jesus is airy-fairy. You know, it's fluff. It's, you know, it just doesn't exist. Yeah, in your world, in your head, maybe. But it exists in the realm of spirit. It exists in the kingdom of God. Because, darling, let me tell you something. If there were an Armageddon today, you would be crying out to, Jesus is his name, and of his kingdom, there is no end. This wonderful counselor, this Prince of Peace.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
God being in the driver's seat would love that. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we learn to receive him also as Lord. Because Lord means ruler, governor. That means my go-to person for everything I need, my counselor. Where do I go when I have to have answers that I can't find in academia? I can't find anywhere locked away in my intellect. I can't find, you know, I've got to go to Jesus because I know that he houses the answers for life. Yes. The Spirit of Truth who resides on the inside of those who have received the gift of the Holy Spirit as a resident Savior. He's within us and he will never leave us nor forsake us. His government can take over our individual lives if we want him to. One thing about the Holy Spirit, he is definitely a gentleman. He will not violate your will to yield unless he has to. Rare occasions he has. But as a rule, he wants to be invited into your life. Jesus wants to be invited into your life. He wants to take complete control because you want him to. And as Lord of my life, I get to counsel with him. What is it that I should teach? Which way should I go? How should I carry out these systems that you have put in front of me? Yes, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. And I don't want to not take counsel with the one who brought me to the party. I want to dance with the one who brought me to the party. I want to stay with the one who created the heavens and the earth, who knows every part of me. The Bible says he knows the number of hairs on my head. He knows what I'm made of. He knows my frame. He knows my getting up and my lying down. He knows where I'm going next year. He knows where I'll be 50 years from now. He knows. So why wouldn't I take counsel with someone who knows rather than sitting around waiting to see what the secular government is going to do? No, thank you. No, thank you. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Back to Isaiah 9, verse 6. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. Woo, yes. Everlasting Father. No end to him being my father. He is a father that won't be leaving home. Amen. Because he said, I'm going to make my abode in you. Me and my father is what Jesus said. And he will never leave you nor forsake you. He's a father that will never leave home. Who wouldn't want a father like that? Yes. He's the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. Look at what comes out of God's government. Peace, increase of peace. He's wonderful. He's a counselor. He's a mighty God. Someone that you know that when he makes a decision that is for the good of the people, yes, it's for the good of mankind. It's not a selfish motive. It's not just trying to see who else he can lord over, but to give people an opportunity to see just how much he loves us. He goes on to state that upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with justice, with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. He's speaking of Jesus. So when Jesus came, he shifted the government that had been given over to the devil in Genesis chapter 3. He was taking back the government of God. I am having a good time shouting this message today. And I don't mean to shout at you, but I'm passionate about this. I see this thing and I want you to get a hold of it. Take some nuggets away today that you can hide in your heart and go back and read your Bible again. You know that Bible, that book that's probably got dust on it. Go get it. Go get it, girl. Go get it, sir. Go get it. Go get the book and begin to read it. Read it in the palm of your hand. Yeah. Read it on your phone. Pick it up and download an app and read it. Read it any way you can read it. I like having it leather bound. I enjoy if I'm traveling that I can grab my phone and I can read it on my iPad. I like that. But read it until it reads you. Because when it's all said and done, darlings, this is the only book that's going to matter. Yep. Yep. It's true. Forevermore. Forevermore. Jesus came and took the keys to the kingdom back. And for years I thought, the keys to the kingdom, boy, we have authority because we have the keys to the kingdom. But what, as I studied this government of God, I realized the keys to the kingdom really meant all that heaven is. The government of God was given over from Adam. Oh, Lord have mercy. That government of God was given over from Adam to the serpent, or to the words of the serpent. Yes. And if you're remembering of the teachings that we've done recently about that scene, we see how Eve and Adam and Eve, they were both guilty of high treason. Yes, yes, and yes. That they received the word. It wasn't an apple. It wasn't an apple. What they received was the fruit of the serpent. What was in the heart of the serpent now went over into their hearts, and they were naked and ashamed. Before, they were not ashamed. because they didn't have a need to even think about what they looked like on the outside. But the consciousness of sin caused them to go and begin to look at themselves. They became unclothed. They were unclothed with the glory of God. They were unclothed with heaven's authority and heaven's government because they had surrendered their authority to another. Anytime you surrender your authority, that's the government. That's the power. That's the seat of influence. That's what government represents. It's a seat of influence. It's the seat of power. And when you surrender that over to another source, you're saying that it is in charge. Whatever it is in charge of you. It is now the door. It is now the word. So Adam and Eve gave their authority over to another word, another voice, another sound. Yes? And the Bible says in Genesis 3, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. Yeah. Saying, Adam, Adam, where are you? You're not seated where I left you. You're not in your authority. You're not in your power. And they were hiding themselves. And Adam said, we hid ourselves because we were naked and ashamed. He said, who told you? God said, who told you you were naked? Who told you? That's a knowledge that I never wanted you to have because you already had everything. Who told you that you were without something? But the serpent had convinced you that if you eat of that tree, you will be as gods, knowing good and evil. The truth is, they were already as gods. And they didn't need the influence of an outside source. God had given man the government. Yes. And mankind gave the government over to receiving it, to receiving words that were not God's word. Look at it today. We have mankind receiving words to govern people's lives that are not God's words. Things that God did not say. Things that they want to do rather than what God said for them to do. You want to know what government would look like if God was in charge? Start reading the Bible and see what happened to Israel when they really worshiped God, when they were obedient to God. The commandments came because the people needed governing. They needed law. They had been stuck in bondage for so long, they lost sight of God, and their eyes were on Pharaoh. Their eyes were on the Egyptians' gods and the many gods that they had, and not on the one who had delivered them before. Not on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had become subject to another God, just as Adam had done, the children of Israel had done. They become subject to other voices and other sounds. But I am so excited to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we don't have to live like slaves in bondage under another sound, that there's a sound greater than the governments of this world, and it is the government of God. And those of you who name the name of Jesus Christ and are Christians, you know ultimately all things will be swallowed up in him, so that every knee will bow. That's what the Bible says. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The government of God has no end. The government of God rules and reigns for those who will surrender to him. I was reading recently, and I can't tell you exactly where it was, but I do know that I was reading about a country in Africa. And I believe it was South Africa. And there was a president who was born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. And when he stood up before Congress, as it were, in his country, the politicians, that he just went into worship and praising God, and everybody in there began to pray and worship God. You can criticize this teaching if you want to, darlings, but I'm here to tell you it's going to come back and bite you in the butt because it's the truth. When people begin to praise God, the world is a better place. Do you know that the statistics are saying that those people who have a local fellowship and they go to church on a regular basis and have spiritual community, just as you do here with these teachings, staying connected with anointed teaching is what's doing it. Staying in fellowship with people of who have faith. Yeah, faith. People who trust God with their lives. Yeah, they're saying that those people have a longer, we people, have a longer life expectancy, are happier people, peaceful people. Yes. How many Christians do you know are happy most of the time? I mean, people who have a relationship. I don't mean Christian the label, not the label, like the label. I mean Christian the life, not the label. Yeah. And so the people who have the Christian life have a happier demeanor, a more peaceful countenance because they fellowship with Jesus Christ. This wonderful counselor, this Prince of Peace, this mighty God, this everlasting Father wants to be your governor, the government of God. And he wants to take us into this place. I believe he wants to take this country. And he wants to take you as an individual, yeah, into a place where you have this wonderful relationship with him, that you begin to operate from his throne room rather than from your room, yeah, your thoughts. The word of God says to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The place I call filling the gap. Changing your mind by reading the word of God. God set up government in the garden, and it was God's will to continue to bring mankind back to his form of government. And I know you look at the news today and I know we've got a long ways to go, but you know, God can do it suddenly. God can change things so quickly. Yes, he can. He really can. And it doesn't take a lot of people to believe, but it does take somebody to believe. It does take somebody with a seed of faith, somebody who will press in. Why don't you press in with me? Press in with me that we will begin to yield ourselves to God's government, and that we will no longer be carried about by other forms of doctrines and listening to words that are not God's words, but begin to listen to words that are ordained of God that can transcend, transform lives. There are empty words that go through media all of the time. They don't change lives. They don't make a difference in the world. Words that make a difference are truth words. Powerful words, words that will go in there and take out the bad seed and put in the word of God so that there can be light in the midst of darkness. That's what he wants right now in this world. So he begins this government in Genesis, and we watch it as it goes through Genesis, and we see Noah building the ark there, and we watch the government of God in place there, because God told Noah, he said, I want you to build an ark, and gave him the dimensions of it, because God is a God of structure and order, and let me tell you, and detail upon detail upon detail. God is precise in what he wants, and he will not waver from it. And I know throughout the ages, men have tried to get him to waver and change his mind about who he is, but he won't. They've set up other gods and other ideas of who he was, but he remains God. There have been atheists. There have been people who were agnostic, people who were just out there and did not believe in God. But then they went through some experiences before they passed away, and they said, truly, God is God. There is only one God. So you may be following some guru or some sage of the ages or whoever it may be, but let me tell you, at the end of the day, you will find that God is God. Noah was building this ark, and he was preaching to the people of his day, telling them that it was going to rain, and they didn't listen to him. Hard-headed, stiff-necked generation. Yeah, I got all that in. And they didn't listen to Noah because it wasn't popular to come forth and be teaching such a thing. They did not hear his voice. They were hearing the voices of themselves. They were hearing each other's voice, and they were stroking each other, and they were, you know, he's just goofy. He's just crazy. This crazy old man talking about an ark. What's an ark? We never heard of an ark. Rain? What's rain? We never heard of rain. But Noah kept on doing what God told him to do. He could hear the beat of a different drummer. He heard the voice of Lord God Almighty, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, the Mighty God. He was hearing that voice. And because he heard that voice, he kept to the details. He stayed on the mission at hand. He stayed in the race to the finish line to build the ark that God had given him the orders to do. And the Bible says that it began to rain. What happens? It began to rain. And as it began to rain, the next thing you know, people were wanting to come. And God had given Noah instructions. He said, get your children, all of your folks, get two of each. Yeah. Male and female of each. Why? Because God is authority. God is order. Yes. Male and female each, and brought them on the ark. And when he did, he closed the door. Can you imagine the scene?
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Can you imagine the scene that day? Can you really imagine the scene? As to what happened when the rain started pouring. And the people were running out and they could hear Noah's voice that day, even though Noah was inside of the ark. And I guarantee you, yeah, that Noah's voice was the loudest voice in the land that day after he was in the ark. Because he had given them a word from God that it was going to rain. That was the government of God saying, look, I will cleanse this earth. I'm going to start all over again. I want my government in this earth. And Noah would be the leader of this new government. So after the flood, Noah and his family started a new earth again, a new government again. And as the population began to grow, and as it began to grow, people started going away from God again. But God never lost sight of regaining the government on earth. So, well, why didn't he stop the people? Again, God gives us our own will. We are free will agents. You can choose to receive Jesus or you can choose to reject him. I shared this recently that people are always saying that God was, I hear preachers have said this, that God is going to send you to hell. No, he doesn't. God doesn't send anyone to hell. It's your choice to go by rejecting Jesus. When you receive him, you're choosing not to go to hell. And when you reject him, you're choosing not to go to heaven. Yeah. So Dr. Faye, do you believe in a place called heaven? I do. because that's where God is. Well, where is it? Wherever God is, that's where it is. And that's good enough for me. Until you have the experience, these sound like strange things to you. Until you have the experience with God. Yeah? So it rained and the new government came and people began to rebel again against God. You follow the trend here? It's kind of like a thing people have. God blesses them and then they start doing their own thing. And then God does it again and then they do their own thing. But by the time Isaiah came along, he was looking for a man, looking for a redeemer. He said, who will go? Who shall I send? Who will go for me? And the Messiah, his son, spoke, oh, here I am. I'll go. We needed a savior. And God had no choice but to send his only begotten son because he wanted to redeem mankind. And this is total redemption of mankind and total redemption of the government of God in the earth. Because of his kingdom, yes, there is no end. So his kingdom come, his will be done. In the earth called you, in the earth around us, whether it's our family, our communities, whatever it is, his kingdom must come. And how do we get the government of God activated in our everyday waking, walking, talking lives? First of all, you have to realize that the government that you see is not the government of God. That is not God-established behavior. God has established a government in heaven so that the government of earth will have a model. So the model is to begin to find out exactly what God wants in government. What does that look like? Again, we continue that conversation. As I read in Isaiah 9, and we walked over to Isaiah because that was so important that we take a look at that as we begin to grow and to learn why God wanted his government in the earth. But as we get through Noah's day and we begin to see how Abraham was called of God, and God told Abraham to get out of his country, away from his kin, away from his homeland, and come into a country that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. Let's take a look at that. And that's in Genesis, the 12th chapter. In Genesis 11, that's an interesting chapter because all of them are so good, but you know we can't read all of them at once. In Genesis 11 is when all of the earth was one language. And they said, I'm going to build a tower. So they were going to build this tower. They were, you know, and they were going to reach heaven. And God saw that the people were of one mind. Look at that government. They were of one mind. And he said, they are going to do exactly what they have said in their hearts to do. Because they were of one mind. How can we be of one mind when we're so divided? As a nation, so divided as a race of people, we're divided party affiliations, division is taking place. Oh, just division everywhere. But these people have one mind. And God said that there was nothing impossible to people who have one mind, that they were going to accomplish what they set in their hearts to do because they were one. Look at what happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. They were all with one mind, one spirit, and one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a great and rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house. You see, the presence of God will meet you when people unify. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Where is that teaching in government? Where is that teaching amongst politicians? A house divided against itself cannot stand. You see, Satan is the author of confusion. He's also the father of lies. When politicians lie, when preachers lie, when anyone lies, the father of that lie is Satan. Yes, because he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said in St. John 10:10, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So God began to scatter them because they were going to build this tower. And then they all had one language. And when he scattered them, it's called the Tower of Babel, because they no longer understood each other. They were speaking different languages, so they didn't understand each other. In Genesis, the 12th chapter, as we take a look at Father Abraham, this man of God who is called the father of faith, actually. And we take a look at him. I'm checking my time here because I want to make sure that I get as much in as I possibly can in this teaching. In Genesis 12, it says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country. Now who's talking? God's talking. Get out of your country. I want you to detach from what you know. What you think is you, I want you to let that go. How many of us need to let go of what we think is us? You know, we have a consciousness of, sometimes we've been groomed into a different consciousness than the one that God wants us to have. That's why we've got to read the Bible in order to get that mind renewed and have the mind of Christ. Get out of your country. Come away from your kin folks, your kin people, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. Wow. I'm going to make you a great nation. He's speaking to Abram and telling him he's going to make him a great nation, meaning I'm going to impart into you government that will be great. Yes, a great nation. America is a great nation at its very core. But our news is saying something else. We've always been great. We'll continue to be a great nation as long as God's people are here and we are growing in number and we're growing in faith to push every corrupt politician into a place that they will repent and turn around. And you see, I don't really care if we change people, but I do care if we change hearts. Yeah. I don't care who's in office as long as they belong to him. And that is the number one thing in their lives, that they are Christ man, Christ woman, and that they are getting their counsel from God. Don't you know God knows how to run a nation? God knows how to speak to hearts and minds and get laws that will make a difference. He's the lawgiver. Of course he knows how to write a law, and he knows what will work and what won't work for people. Yes, he does. So he tells Abram at that time, before he became Abraham, he told Abram, I will make of you a great nation. You're going to be a great nation. And look at what he says next. He said, and I will bless you. Wow. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to do some mighty things in your life. I'm going to change the way you see yourself. Listen to what he says. He says, and you will be a blessing. I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing. Look at that. How powerful is that? I am going to bless you so you can be a blessing. Not so you can buy 5 cars and build a bigger house. And I'm not blessing you just so you can wear red bottom shoes and you can wear bling bling. And, you know, I'm not blessing you so you can do all those things. I'm blessing you so that you can be a blessing. I want you to be a flow through station. And it wasn't just for his generation. It was going to be for every generation after Abram. I'm going to make your name great. You see what happens with God's government, with people, with men and women who will yield to the voice of God? He said, I'm going to make your name great. You're going to be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. Wow. That has been part of my brand, if you will, all of my life. He blesses those who bless me. But he also said to Abram, and I will curse those who curse you. You know, you follow this teaching throughout the Old Testament, and you will find that Israel, when Israel was listening to God, when they were obedient to the Lord, he fought for them. The minute they disobeyed God, he didn't fight for them anymore. They lost battle after battle after battle for disobedience. But when they yield to God, he fought for them. He didn't need many, but he fought, and they would win regardless of the number of men they had in battle. They would win when the Lord was fighting for them. And I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, today, God fights for those who are obedient to him. He fights for those who will listen to his laws, who will yield to him. They don't have to go after other nations they're not in competition. When you have God on your side, he's more than the world against you. Yeah, he will fight for you. He will defend your cause. Those of you individually, and you're so wrapped up in your problems right now, the things that are going on in your personal life, you can't even think about the government. It's just too much. Your life is running out of control, and you're just wanting God to bring peace. I am encouraging you that if you yield to Jesus Christ, he will bring peace. Doesn't matter what it looks like right now, he will bring peace in the midst of your storm. He will take your life and he'll turn it completely around, because that's exactly what he wants to do. He doesn't want you to live in torture and turmoil and in chaos and confusion. He wants to take your life and govern it. How does he govern a nation? He governs it one person at a time, one people at a time. Here he is speaking to Abram. He spoke to Noah. He spoke to Adam. One person at a time. The government of God wants to take control of your life. What order does he want to sit in your house today? What does he want you to do that maybe you haven't done? I have to sit down and take counsel with him every day, because there's so many things going on in my life, and I know in your life as well. But if I don't get instructions from headquarters, I don't know how to operate. You know, the counsel of God is my Pentagon. What's going on? How do I execute these tools that you've given me for the grace of God? I don't know. But I know that he knows. And I know that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. I know that he can lead me into a plain path because of my enemies. And I know that he's gone ahead of me and made provisions for my life. He told Abraham, he said, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is the government of God being established in Abraham, that under you all the nations, all the families of the nations are blessed because of you. And there is nothing that can separate you from what I placed on your life. Now, I don't know about you, but it is my prayer that you too will want to take counsel with the government of God and find out exactly what he wants for your life. As an individual, perhaps you are a gung-ho Democrat or just an out-and-out Republican. And maybe you will say, like some people who are in certain denominations, I remember hearing of a woman or a man who wants somebody who said, I was born a Baptist and I'm going to die a Baptist. Some of you are saying, oh, I was born a Democrat and I'm going to die a Democrat. I was born a Republican and I'm going to die a Republican. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, you'll never fulfill the call of God upon your life by being so married to the things of this world that you cannot receive the government of God and execute that in your life. I'm so glad you took time to tune in today. It's always a blessing and a pleasure to be a part of your life. I consider it an honor that God would allow me to speak into your life. You're so precious to me, and I would love hearing from you and your family and just to know what we can do to pray for you and to pray with you. You can always send us a prayer request through our website at theglobalchurchlive.com, theglobalchurchlive.com, and follow us across social media, share our posts, and empower people to the best of your ability. And for those of you who are seeking to grow in grace, and we have created and been blessed with our own Bible college. I'm now a chancellor of an online Bible school, and it is fully accredited. You can get your certifications, you can get degrees right there at globalacademyinternational.com. That's globalacademyinternational.com. It's a Bible college that's made just for you. Thank you so much for being a part of it. Don't forget to check out our page here and make sure you be a part of all of the other activities across social media. God bless you. Until next time, this is Dr. Fay. Remember, we are worshiping and praising God because we want His government to be established in the earth again.